Hello and welcome to the On-Call Room.
Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brie.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. It's also a beautiful day for Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. It's a week late. I thought about it as I was posting.
Oh, shit.
I know. I thought about it as I was posting last week's or whatever. I was like, fuck, this is coming out like on Valentine's Day. We should have mentioned it, but we're mentioning it now. So we hope you had a really lovely Valentine's Day. A friend of ours, I was texting and he was like, how did recording go? I was like, oh God, we haven't even started yet. But like, John got a nice bottle of wine, so we're eating dinner for Valentine's Day and whatever. And he went, oh my God, both of you are married and you are recording on Valentine's Day. You guys are very committed to the podcast. So it was like, well, it's just Valentine's Day. It's fine.
Jake and I have like never done Valentine. Well, maybe we did in the beginning, but the beginning would have been college. So like,
yeah.
Who knows what that meant to us at the time. I don't know. I like it. I would like to. It comes up and I don't even realize it. And I'm like, oh shit, it's that day. So it's more that I'm just lazy.
I will say, I think you'd be really proud of me. Number one, you know, I really like cards. Like I like words of affirmation. I keep a card box of things and I love flowers. Like I know some people are like, don't get me flowers. Like that's a waste of money. But for me, it brings me a lot of joy, especially in the winter. And so instead of just like hoping, like a week before Valentine's Day, I looked at John and I said, I would really like flowers for Valentine's Day. Like, and didn't make it like a thing, you know, like, because like that could maybe take the magic out of it or something, but I'm sure you would have gotten them for me anyway. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be direct and say like, that would mean a lot to me. And then I got home from work today and he had a beautiful bouquet and he hasn't finished writing the card. He like threw it on the counter away and he was like, just don't worry about it or whatever. And I already gave him, I bought him a plant for his work office and gave it to him on Saturday. So I don't know. It's just like a, you know, whatever. It doesn't.
I love that.
I went
to a flower store today, the one, that little one in Spring Lake, which have you, you know, and because my grandma wanted me to pick up some flowers for my mom. And I was like, you picked the worst day of the year to just randomly go and try to find flowers.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but anyways, we went and oh my God, it brought me so much joy to be in that tiny ass mess of a shop because there were about four other really distraught looking men in line. Like clearly panic buying. Like they did not have an arrangement. I think they walked in there and thought, oh shit. Cause there was like a huge area of all these like pre-made ones that had names on them. Like they were being delivered, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was like, what I said was the apocalypse of flowers. There was like barely any, they were in buckets and you had to like make your own like thing, you know, which I kind of loved. But, and then there was like a section of orchids, like orchid plants. And I swear to God, every one of these men grabbed an orchid plant because I think they were like, this was put together. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to be like, oh, those poor girls. They just, you can tell there was
those poor women getting orchids that they're going to fucking kill because they're so
right,
hard to take
care of. Right,
because
orchids are hard. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say to the guy. I got two things of tulips because they were closed still. And I feel like that means they will bring at least a week's worth of joy.
Yes, I love tulips.
I love a tulip bouquet.
Yeah, I think like, you know, roses are the go-to, but a tulip bouquet is so pretty.
And they were straight up tulips? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm not a fan of carnations. If carnations are in with other flowers, I feel okay about them if they're filler flowers. But if you're just buying me carnations, I'm sorry, it's trash flower to
They
me.
Make me and, think of daddy-daughter dances that we had growing up because you'd get a carnation or something. Also, like dance recitals, I feel like I would get carnations. But the tulips, I got like two big bunches of them and then they packaged them together. And I felt very like, except for that it was fucking snowstorming. Wow, I ate a lot of pasta and I'm having indigestion. But I was like holding a bouquet of tulips and I was like, I look so like European. I don't know. I just felt like, except like I said, there was a snowstorm. So it wasn't like pretty.
Did your mom like them?
She did. And I also got her chocolates. I said, I don't care what your heart doctor says.
You can have them on Valentine's Day, mom.
So yeah. Okay, wait. We forgot to say, which is whatever. We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We're deep diving all the episodes. This is the finale. We are talking about season 13, episode 23 and 24. So yeah. If you've not watched Grey's Anatomy all the way through season 18, recommend stopping the podcast and going back and waiting until you've watched it all because we have a lot of spoilers.
Totally. And if you want to support us, you can do so by looking at the show notes and going to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or attending. We go over these every week. But you get a lot of really cool things for being a patron. Wanted to mention that tonight we have a post-op topic. Well, we have one every week, but our post-op topic tonight. If you are a $10 patron, when we call time of death, you get to hear us talk for 5 to 10 more minutes. And we're talking about a deleted scene. This was Abby's idea, and I think it was a very brilliant idea. So I don't know. I kind of feel like that's all I'm going to say about it. And if you're...
I just think it's just not a dumb deleted scene. And it's one that like really changed how you view the end of the season. That's
yeah.
All I'm
saying. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting conversation, I think. So... now might be the time to pledge to be a $10 attending if you want to hear about that.
You can
that.
Always unpledge the next month if you just want to
binge them. Absolutely. Well, yeah, the thing is like, if you pledge, you get, it unlocks all of our bonus and post-op discussions from like years back. So if you're like, God, I'm all caught up and I like really want more content. I mean, yeah, we would love it if you would continue to pledge, but if you just wanted to pledge for like 2 months and listen to everything,
yeah,
do it. Why not?
Be our guest.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a lot to talk through and we're going to record a bonus. So I feel like we should just like, since it's the finale, how do you feel about just jumping in?
I feel really good about that. Yeah. Let's just go for it. Oh, but I want to say one other thing.
Yes.
Well, two things really fast. I want to say, please leave a review, 5 scalpels.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great way.
It's like, I love cards as much as Brie. It's like getting a card, a digital yes. card.
Yes. And then number two is just a reminder that like we are going to be doing reaction to the new season 18 is coming out like next week, right? Or the week after.
February 24th.
Okay. So there might be a break. I don't even know if there will be a break, but potentially if there's like a week break of the podcast, when we come back, we are not jumping right into season 14. We are going to finish out with season 18 with reactions. So
yes.
Just a heads up, like that's where we're going next. But if there is a little bit of a break in there, trust we will be back. And then also we will get them out before the next episode. It might be a day before, but just keep an eye on your feed. We'll have our reactions before the next one comes out. So
I feel like a lot of us watch the show not live anymore. So I feel like it's okay.
Yeah, totally.
Also, I just want to say it's like we're not quite ready for the season 14. Remember, was the season that Krista Vernoff was back on. Like she was off and then back on, and it was like a happy season because like she was like not wanting any more sadness. And honestly, I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet. So
yeah, I feel pretty sad today. So
okay, again, we're talking about season 13, episode 23 and 24, which did not air the same day. So it wasn't like a 2-hour finale.
It didn't? Oh, I thought it was.
No, big fucking cliffhanger too.
Totally. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right. First one is called True Colors and the monologue is by Meredith. It says, "There are moments when all of the stars align, when everything seems as it should be. Your life seems to have sorted itself out. It's not like all our problems go away. It's just that the problems are suddenly manageable. You feel so good, you wonder if it's real. And if I've learned anything, I can tell you it is. It's very real, but it will not last. There are days when you feel like you can conquer anything and it feels like everything will be okay. Like I told you, the feeling doesn't last. I'm not trying to be cynical. It's just that even when a day starts out so well, that day can end so, so badly." Meredith Grey.
And then the second one is Ring of Fire. "When life forces us to do something impossible, an explosion happens inside the body. A rush of hormones blasts through us, making us stronger, making us faster. Biology overrides fear, and that makes the impossible possible. Nobody wakes up thinking, my world will explode today. My world will change. Nobody thinks that, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes we wake up, we face our fears, we take them by the hand, and we stand there waiting, hoping, ready for anything. Meredith Gray. I'm going to do shotgun workup so you can go into the first round. Okay. So we don't have that many because the characters kind of overlap here, but we have Allison Goodman, broken leg, abdominal bleeding, aortic injury. Then we have Keith, bruising, head laceration, skull fracture, and grade 3 liver laceration. We have Baby Miller, obstructed airway, Aaron Miller, lacerated leg, and Stephanie Edwards, burns.
All right, buckle up. This is a big, long-ass round.
Buckle up, motherfuckers.
All right, so the family with a little girl named Erin. Oh, sorry, that is a sentence that's not supposed to be read. Okay. Two patients, Allison and Keith, come into the ER having been in a car accident. They are both found without their pants on. All the doctors assume that they are lovers, a new couple, or maybe even married. Oh, whoa, wasn't it also Valentine's Day in the episode?
Was it? I don't remember that.
Okay, anyways. Allison takes longer to wake up, but Keith is awake and talking to Stephanie. He asks where Allison is and says that he wonders how she is doing and that he needs to be by her in case she is scared when she wakes up. He is insistent upon it. Stephanie decides to break the rules and bring Keith via wheelchair to Allison so he can be by her. At that same time, Allison wakes up and starts panicking and asking if she killed the man she was with. Bailey explains that no, he is fine and not to worry. Allison then emphasizes that he broke into her car with a knife and forced her to drive into the woods to rape her. She was willing to risk her life and hit the gas pedal to drive them off a cliff. At that moment, Bailey calls a code orange. Stephanie is with Keith at that time, and he stands up and holds a small knife to her neck and tells her that she is going to do everything that she can to get him out of there. He threatens her twice as Stephanie is holding him up and walking down the hallway. She even lies to Ben Warren and says that she doesn't need any help. They end up on an upstairs floor when the lockdown begins, and a little girl named Erin, whose sister came into the ER earlier that day choking. Keith makes Erin help him start a fire so that the sprinkler system will go off and the lockdown will end. As he is holding the flame to the sprinkler, Stephanie runs behind him and pours more alcohol on his body. A spark from the fire lands on him, and he erupts into flames. She pulls Erin into a separate room as his body burns. What Stephanie doesn't realize is that Keith, who's on fire, fell near a gas tank, and before she can run and stop it, a major explosion takes place. When Stephanie wakes up, there are flames all around her, and Erin is crying for her. Erin's leg is pinned into place by a piece of machinery. Stephanie walks her through the pain as she takes the shrapnel out of her leg. They then wrap a wet blanket around themselves and run through the fire in order to get out. They make their way into the staircase and realize the only way they can go is up. They make it up to the top of the staircase and Stephanie doesn't have her key card. They are stuck. Stephanie wraps a blanket around her and tells her it will keep the scary out. Then she sees her card just a few floors down and decides to go get it. Her and Erin make their way to the top of the hospital roof and then Erin passes out. Stephanie is yelling for help. Meanwhile, Ben Warren has put on a firefighter coat and is leading the team through when he last saw her. They find the burn victim and follow a blood trail up the stairs. They find Stephanie and Erin and immediately take them down to the ER to operate on Erin. Stephanie holds her hand the entire time. Jackson comes in and sees Stephanie's burns. As soon as Stephanie hears that Erin is stable, Stephanie passes out. Jackson and April wheel her to a safer place, and as she is recovering from her burns, Dr. Weber comes in and finds Stephanie struggling with the pain. She tells him how thankful she is for his teaching and that it is because of him that she found her path. She's ready to live her life outside of a hospital, and she quits.
Wow. Great job, Abby.
It's great.
There's one part that I love that you say, and he stands up and holds a small knife, not a scalpel. It was a scalpel.
A scalpel? It looked like the knives that I use to get the hair off my face, like my baby hairs.
Oh yeah. What is that called?
Micro something.
No.
What? I can't hear you.
I was going to say microblading. Is it microblading?
No, that's not. When you get your eyebrows tattooed.
Yeah, what the fuck is it called? I just recently got it done.
Dermoplaning.
Dermoplaning, and it is a small scalpel that you use for that, actually. So anyway.
Yeah, but you can't stab yourself with it because it doesn't have a pointy tip. At least mine don't.
Right. But like the front part of it, you can cut yourself with. Like if you were to slice it down your face.
Mine are from Urban Outfitters. I don't think they're very sharp.
Oh, no. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. Okay. So second round, Owen wakes up in the morning to two soldiers from the Army Human Resource Command at his doorstep. We don't know right away what they say, but we can see that Owen is suffering from PTSD. He starts to have tunnel vision and he hears things in slow motion. At the hospital, he helps the baby from choking, but has inappropriate responses to the patient's parents and he can't seem to focus. Amelia finds him in a supply closet and makes him tell her what happened. We learn that Megan was found alive and has been a prisoner of war for all these years. Amelia takes Owen to Meredith's house and they call the hospital in Germany where Megan is being transferred. Amelia talks to Teddy.
Teddy. I don't know why I wrote Teddy Hunt. Teddy Altman.
And asks if Megan can be transferred here. Owen breaks down and tells her that he has continued on living his life, being married, divorcing, marrying again. All the while that Megan has been tortured and suffering. He says he stopped looking for her and he breaks down. Meredith returns home at the time and Amelia tells her what happened. Meredith decides she should go tell Nathan what she has learned because if it were Derek, she would want to know right away. As she arrives at the hospital, she sees the explosion. Owen and Amelia head to the hospital to meet Megan when she arrives since she can't go to Grace Sloan anymore. Owen and Amelia walk into the Army hospital and Owen starts to see tunnel vision again. Owen and Amelia and some other Army officers head to a helipad and meet the helicopter there as his sister is unloaded. Owen grabs Amelia's hand. That's the end of the episode, y'all, with those two.
This happens in episode 23. Alex follows Joe's husband to a conference and sees where he is about to speak. It's clear that he has hired an investigative team to find him. His name is Paul Stadler, and throughout the episode, Alex goes through different scenarios of what he might do or want to do. One involves meeting him at the bar, winning him over, and then beating the shit out of him and getting put in jail. Another fantasy involves threatening him right before he goes on stage to speak, but that fantasy ends in Paul finding Joe and killing her, all thanks to Alex. At the end of the day, Paul gets into a taxi right before him. And while Alex has the opportunity to share the taxi with him, he ends up letting him go alone.
Then we have Meredith and Riggs wake up in the same bed and she makes him leave before the kids wake up. She's not ready for them to meet him. That day, we see Riggs interact with a little girl named Erin. He does really well with her and it inspires Meredith to invite Riggs over to have dinner with her and the kids and to stay afterwards, however, not spend the night. She's even walking into her house telling the kids that she's going to have a friend over when she sees Owen and everything unravels. She heads to the hospital to look for Nathan and finds him in an OR operating on someone. She decides to help him operate in order to make it go faster. After the fire, Meredith finds Nathan and makes sure that he knows how to breathe. She says she has something to tell him. She checks his oxygen and she says to him, "Remember the dream where they come back to us. Derek forgets his keys and Megan goes for coffee. Nathan, they found Megan. She's alive." He says, "That's not funny." And Meredith explains that the Army called Owen this morning. He starts crying and coughing. Meredith gives him oxygen. He asks Meredith questions about Megan and Meredith doesn't have any of the answers. He stands up and decides that he needs to go. He just repeats, "Megan's alive," and he hugs and spins Meredith around. They hug and he says, "I'm sorry." Meredith tells him not to apologize. She says, "If it were Derek, I would already be gone."
And then lastly, the day after the explosion, Catherine Avery holds a meeting with Richard, Bailey, and Minnick. Minnick tries to blame the explosion and what happened to Stephanie on Richard for not making her take more therapy, not on the fact that she forgot to tell the police that Stephanie was missing. Bailey comes right back at her about how the hospital is not making robots, it is making surgeons. She fires Minnick instantly.
All right.
On that later.
So, first notes, I have, did Riggs sleep over?
Yeah, that like shock, that's what mine is too. Like of like, oh shit, we fell asleep.
Yes.
Which is meaning they're getting more comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
Let's just, what do we feel like? Because we basically, we told the whole story to all of you, so we don't need to like recap that. But like, what do you want to talk about?
I feel like the biggest things I want to talk about, I don't even need to like, I kind of want to talk about Stephanie's exit. Like, yeah. I have a, like, quote from her, exit.
Yes, and I have that whole line too, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even really feel like we need to rehash the whole thing.
No.
I thought it was wild. The whole thing was, I will just say, like, my and reactions to it is like, oh my God, there's a rapist. This is very stressful.
And like, just the way he is and the way that she, like, oh, I so badly, even though I know, like, when you're under stress like that, like, it's easy for me as a TV watcher to be like, oh my God, why didn't you just, which I don't mean it like that, but like, when she passes Ben Warren in the hallway, I just wanted her to be like, they're trying to kill me, like, and like flail her arms. But like, she is afraid and like, is acting how any person who is afraid would do. And so also, I just kept thinking that little knife, I feel like he could just do a little poke and like, Would it kill her? I don't know. I don't know anything about scalpels. But then I'm like, oh, wait, they do cut bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could cut her artery right there in her
right,
neck.
Right, her and throat.
She would bleed out. But, I mean, this is what we have been building up towards. And if there was any reason for Stephanie to leave, I think it's that she was in a fire with a rapist. So
She deep fried him. She deep fried him.
Yeah. So she ends up saying to Richard, like, because he's kind of there being like, we're going to get you back into the OR. It's going to take take a while. And she says that she spent her whole life in hospitals and she needs to see some place that is not inside of a hospital. She needs to travel and explore and hike and breathe real air. So deep, I want to breathe it all in, away from the monitors and bloods and sterile gowns. And then she ends up telling like Weber that like he changed her life.
Wait, I want to finish the quote because I have it written down. It's just, away from gowns, away from saving other people's lives. I want my own. It's time I live my own. You changed my life, Dr. Weber. You taught me how to take my past and find my path. Thank you. I think I found it.
And then she quits. And so what do you think? I mean, what do you think about her ending? Do we think it makes sense? Like,
In retrospect, rewatching, definitely. Like, there were so many signs. And I feel like it tied together the whole part about her being a child in a hospital and how, like, I think that that made her a really excellent doctor, even with, like, showing how she was helping Aaron get through the pain. You know, like, clench your fists, like, scream if you want to. It's like it helped her until this last moment, and now she's ready. She's ready to just move on. And I feel like it made sense.
Yeah, and I thought the part that, like, really touched me was, like, I want to hike and breathe, like, real air. Like, she has spent her entire life in the walls of hospitals, and I think she realizes, like, I don't want to do that anymore. And also, like, there's a lot of, like, themes about breathing with, like, the fire and stuff throughout these episodes. So I thought that was really good writing, too. Like, she needs to, like, go take deep breaths away from a burning rapist hospital, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I thought it I really did not feel jarred by it. I did not feel cheated out of an exit. I feel like compared to a lot of characters that leave the show, her exit actually, like, again, felt a little bit full circle. Mm-hmm. And while I will miss her because I have grown to really, really love her character in this podcast, and I loved her relationship with Weber, like, so much. Mm-hmm. She even says to him in the beginning when he approves her of, like, not having to do more therapy. And she says, like, you are the one true king. Like, I feel like they just have a really great relationship. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, piggyback off what you're saying, like, going back a couple episodes when, like, that boy died and, like, Minnick wasn't there for her, she went to Weber. And, like, Weber was the one to comfort her and, like, walk her through that really horrible process of, like, talking to the parents and stuff.
Yeah. And I also thought it was great, too, how I felt, like, the tie-in of, like, Jackson being the one looking for her also sort of, like, tied in the fact that, like, they did have a really long relationship. And while he obviously left her at the altar for April, like, I think it showed that he, like, cares about her. I don't know. I think it just, like, it was a good tie-in to have him be the one that was concerned for her.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything else. I will just say, like, blanket statement, what a wild fucking storyline that there's, like, a rapist and then they light the hospital on fire. Like, that's just, like, Gray's writers are like, what can we do that we haven't done yet? Oh, a lockdown with a fire. Let's do that.
Dude, this finale though felt good to me. Like it reminded me about like, not so much like the shooting episode or the air, but like it had similar, like it was shocking.
Yes, it definitely is shocking. It's like, what is, oh my God, this is a lot. It's a lot.
Also brilliant acting by her when she's up on the roof and she's screaming. I know. That was like hard to watch. And then the way that like her adrenaline was like ran out as soon as she knew Aaron was okay.
I know.
Also, and can then, we just there's DeLuca fixing her burns. I'm like, DeLuca, you've not done one thing this season. I think he starts to have a personality next season.
Yeah. It really sucks too. That whole scene I thought was really intense too, where like he's like making the little girl Erin, the rapist is making the little girl Erin bring out all the stuff to start a fire. And then Stephanie like ultimately is like, don't make her do it. So he goes to do it. And I thought Steph was going to run for the scalpel, but she ends up running for the alcohol and lights him on fucking fire. I didn't remember that. I was like, oh, she's going to get that scalpel and she's going to like cut him. But no, she lit the bastard on fire.
I mean, I remember seeing his body in flames, but I guess I didn't remember how that happened. And like, it's just like, whoa. I feel like it in my head too. I was like, okay, this guy's idea is like fine. Like just make some smoke. The fire alarm will go off. And then I was like, oh, setting a moving body on fire seems dangerous.
Yeah.
But, it's whatever. You do what you got to do.
Yeah. I feel like we can briefly say this because it's like with this storyline with like Ben Warren.
Oh, yeah. I do want to
Ben Warren's worst nightmare is fire. And now he's on station 19.
I know. I noticed that too. So also I said this would have made a great crossover episode is all I kept thinking.
Yeah.
Because there's like so many firefighters in it. But yeah, so he hates fire, but it also I feel like he's thriving off the adrenaline. He's going in and getting people out. He's carrying them down staircases and like he doesn't know when to quit. And then when he puts that fireman coat on and
everything
goes into
changes.
The burning building. What?
Everything changes.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. It like, that's to me, I was like, oh, here we go. And it's like they planted the seed.
There is this one scene that I think is like kind of ridiculous. And it's when he puts on the coat and they like are going through and he's like, there's blood, the burning blood. I was like, what is he, a fucking detective? Like, what is going on? This is very SVU right now where he's like, oh, follow the blood trail. And also what's very
there's
odd
no
about
fire.
That, there's no fire anymore. It's completely gone. They have not like brought a hose up or anything. There's just no fire. No one has like fire masks on or anything. It's just all. And if there wasn't a fire, like Stephanie should be able to carry that girl down the stairs.
Yeah. Like, I know. I mean, they show that it makes you wonder how long they're on the roof for. I feel like it made it look like it was just a few minutes, but then like maybe it was like hours. Like maybe they got that whole room under control. You know what I mean? And
maybe,
then.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I could think about. Because, yeah, in my head, I was like, wait, she just went up those stairs and it was definitely on fire. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
No.
But that's okay. I love how she was like, did you take the scenic route?
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that they couldn't hear. I understand that her screaming off a building, but God, that just sucked that no one could hear her. Like, and see her being like, we need help up here. Like, God damn it. God damn
awful.
It. Yeah. So anyway, just wild. Just a wild storyline right there.
I feel like we can tie in quickly with this because I want to read a quote that Bailey says. Minnick the whole time is like trying to do her protocols. Like this is clearly a time that protocols do not make sense because it's so fucking absurd. Like a code orange and then a fire. So like a lockdown and a fire, just so much going on. She forgets to tell the cops about Stephanie, which also though I feel like, would that have made a difference? Like what are they... I guess that part.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But she forgets to tell them. And then when they're in the meeting, she tries to blame it, like being like, well, this wouldn't have happened if Edwards had been in therapy. And Bailey's like, well, actually, if Edwards hadn't been here, then a little girl would have died. But I want to just read the quote from Bailey. She says, She says she is clinging to these procedures and protocols and cannot see when to let go in order to save the life of a patient. I do. I know because I was taught right. Dr. Edwards certainly knew because she was taught right. This is not some factory that churns out surgical robots. We make doctors, thinking, feeling, human doctors, and we will teach them right. Boom.
All while Richard is sitting next to her.
I know. Ugh.
And so he's like, you know, validated and glorified in that moment of like, she was taught right by Richard and he's going to be reestablished, reinstated as the, I mean, we had to get rid of Minnick. Like we knew she was leaving. And so we knew this.
Clearly
was
she doesn't want anything to do with Arizona either. Like,
no,
like she's not working there anymore and she's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a lot of shame and embarrassment. It's like going to get the fuck out of there. So I will be interesting when we do finally get season 14. Like, I would like to watch what Arizona's response, like if that gets brought up or we just completely brush over that, because Arizona like goes to like at the end, because we start the first one, the first episode with them them waking up together. And then we end it with Arizona saying something like, I don't know what she says. Crazy day. Let's go home. Something. And Minnick is like, I just got fired. So that's their last interaction. And so I wonder, I do not remember if it gets brought up in the season premiere of season 14. So we should look out for that.
We should. I feel like let's talk about Owen, because then that will lead into the Riggs thing, which is what I want to spend the most.
Before we do that, can we briefly just talk about Alex so then we can spend more time?
Yeah. The Riggs did you thing. Forget it was fake scenarios? Because I sure did.
Okay, the first one I didn't. I was like, okay, he doesn't go to jail. Like I remember that. But the
I thought they got drinks together. I thought they like sat at the bar together. Once he started beating him up, I was like, oh, this isn't real. But I thought they got drinks together.
Yeah, I kind of did think that. But then too, when he was like backstage and he was like,
I thought that was real.
I thought that was real too. But then when he was like beating up Joe or killing Joe or whatever, I was like, oh wait, that's not real either. But it's, after the first one was like, oh, that was a flat or like, not real. Yeah. And he like flashes forward to what could happen. The second one was a little more like, okay, I don't think this is actually happening.
I feel like it show. This is where I think when we do like Alex Krivitz, like shows his growth, because I feel like those are things he would have done, and has made some growth. Also, though, I will say I think they also did them to show us a little bit of his character, of this Paul guy's character, like
totally.
The way that when they came out of the bar and he was like, "Stop calling me," like to his girlfriend, like that. Just like, oh, that felt like such a red flag to me. And like the way he was when he was drunk, and like it like scared me. Like I don't know how Mr. Schuster can play such a mean person.
Yeah, no, I think it did a really good job of displaying like what abusive behaviors look like. And yeah, like red flags, and like intimidation, you know, like it's not like, I mean, it's not even like he was getting physical with anyone, but like you could hear that like that tone was probably something that he used to intimidate Joe. And I thought it was a good job. And it did make me happy to see like Alex exhibit like restraint, you know?
Yeah, which can we remember that the previous season finale is him beating up DeLuca, and the episode begins with the aftermath of that. So I feel like it's also a very full circle moment for Alex of like growth.
Yeah. And I think he really, I mean, I think he probably wanted to beat the shit out of him tell him to, you know, but realize like, I can't do that. And also I think too, not just like, I can't do that. I think it really was for Joe. Like, because I think that is how they end up getting back together, is he's like, I went and saw him and I didn't do anything. And that's part of the reason why Joe didn't want to tell him, was like, she was so afraid that Alex would go and beat the shit out of him. So, and like end up in jail or whatever. And that's why it was so horrible that it happened with DeLuca, because she was like, you fulfilled my biggest fear. Cause you're a fucking hothead. So anyway, I don't want to say like, good job, Alex, but like,
no, because
you know, but like, good job, I guess. I don't know. I'm just happy that he didn't end up back in a jail cell.
Yeah, it bodes well for him and Joe in the future, I hope. And although there's going to be like some real hard episodes in the beginning of season 14, I feel like it is interesting to get our first taste of him too, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. Okay, so Owen.
I was just going to say, I think when we watched that, I wonder if they didn't tell us, like we didn't know that he was going to be back in the season premiere. I think it's a season premiere.
Yeah, I don't think we do. I don't remember. Because I think
we thought like, oh, weird. Like, oh, I guess that's it. But we won't see him again. But then like, remember, it's scary. He's back in the premiere. So
yeah.
Okay, Owen. This was emotional for me.
Mm-hmm. I cannot even imagine what Owen is going through.
No. And I feel like it's, again, when they did a good job of like showing what it might be like to be having PTSD or having anxiety, like the way that like the talking slows down and he sees tunnel vision and like he's there, but he's not there. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is just so accurate to what having like a panic attack is sort of like. And the way that he's like lashing out also. He's just like, he is very alone in his thoughts. And I feel like I was really glad too that it was Amelia that notices and Amelia that is walking him through all of this.
Yeah. I have a quote. Do you mind if I read the quote from Owen when they're...
Go for it.
So he says, I left Megan in a hole in the ground for almost 10 years. Weeks would go by and I wouldn't give her a thought. I couldn't spare her a thought. And she was being held and tortured. I stopped looking. I gave up. I gave up on her. And I stopped there because then he's crying and like Amelia's holding him. And my note continues. I said, really good acting, Owen. And that would be so hard because he did give up on her. But I said, but you have to in order to keep living your life. Like, yes. So of course he feels like I should have kept looking. I should have. But like that is the process of grief is like you spend all of this time. It's all you can think about. You're consumed by it. And then little by little days go by and you realize, oh my God, I didn't think about that person today. You know, like, and that's like, he realizes like there, I couldn't. And now that she's alive, he looks back on that. It's like, I couldn't spare her a thought, but it's like, you were doing what you needed to do to survive and move forward. But now he's twisting it on himself. Like I wasn't good enough and I gave up on her. And it's heartbreaking.
I also think Owen Hunt does not give up on people.
Right.
People tell him like it's over, but he would hold on until there's nothing left. Like, I just think about his relationships even, you know, like it's very rare that he's the one doing the leaving. It's usually...
Except for his fiance in the first...
Okay, sorry. Except for her. Yeah. But like, I just feel like it just goes against his character, especially because we saw him earlier this season feeling like Riggs gave up on her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, that is the whole reason he wasn't speaking to Riggs. So it's just like... I feel like, yeah, it's like his worst nightmare, essentially, of like finding out that he fucked up in that way. And also, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but like, I want to be clear that I don't think he fucked up. Mm-mm. Like,
I'm sorry, he feels that way, but he did not. I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't think he fucked up, but I think that is like why it's such good acting and writing is obviously that is what it would feel like. But like, what was he supposed to do? Live? It's been like, what, 10 years or 10 years, something?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
10 years. And he was supposed to be searching for her for 10 years. Like, no, he was doing his job. He got married. Like,
yeah,
he had to live his life.
I think it's also hard for him that we find out later that she was only 10 miles from where they were stationed.
Yeah.
So it's like even more of a... It's like finding out you actually didn't make the test by one percentage point. Like you'd rather it be something absurd.
Right.
But it was like, she was so close. Also, this is the first time Teddy's mentioned in like forever, which is cool. And I love that we find out too, that like Teddy had been trying to call him, but he was in a space, didn't answer. And that like, I just think it's beautiful that Amelia like steps up. I mean, she is still his wife, technically. Like they're not divorced, but like the way that I feel like she recognizes when someone... Also, she's lost a brother. So like all I could think about is like how she'd be feeling if somehow Derek was alive. You know what I mean? Like there's that part when they're driving in the car and And where's the part? I guess I don't really have an... Oh, Owen's like, I don't know what I'm going to say to her. And Amelia says that, like, you won't know what to say until you see her. And all I could think about is, like, Amelia, like, if Derek. Like, I just think that in that moment, she knows what he needs.
Yeah, I agree. And when he, like,
and she speaks
grabs
German.
Her hand. Yeah, that was shocking. I was like, wait, Amelia speaks German?
But did you notice that he goes, you speak German?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I love that they made him be like, whoa.
Yeah, like, I feel like they did that for us as viewers to be like, yeah, we're calling out the fact that Amelia's speaking German. Like, you know, we're not just, like, blowing over this, acting like it's not a big deal or whatever. But yeah, she was supposed to come to Grace Sloan, but she couldn't because the rapist fire. And so, I think it's like really brilliant of Amelia that she just kind of puts all of her shit aside, gets like a nanny, like for, I love that, like, Meredith leaves Amelia with the kids. And so, like, Amelia's dealing with Owen, but Amelia's the one who finds a nanny. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of pulls everything together for everyone and, like, gets Owen to where he needs to go.
Drives him there. And then she walks down the hallway. You can tell that the doctors are talking to her and he's at that point tunnel visioned out again. Like, he's not really present. You can tell she's listening and talking. And then she's there and he holds her hand when they bring her out of the helicopter, which is pretty intense.
The other thing I will quickly say before we get to the Meredith and Riggs thing, I'm really proud that Amelia talks about some specific, like, psychologist or whatever who deals with PTSD, who's like the best the whatever. And Amelia is like, I called Dr. So-and-so. And then he's like, good, like, we'll need that for Megan. She was like, you are also going to need this. I thought that was really, really smart too. Like, yes, obviously Megan's going to need this, but, like, I think she was really just thinking about Owen in that moment.
What's that kind of, 2019. So it's a couple seasons away. I was like, when Owen gets the, like, the EMDR.
EMDR, yeah. Oh, God. But that's a good episode.
I think it's in 2019, so it's a couple seasons in the future. But yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'll talk about the Meredith thing in a second, but do you have anything?
Nope, that's
about
it.
Owen. Okay. And then, okay, so Meredith finds out about Megan when she is bringing the kids into the house, and it's so sad because she's like, I'm having a friend over tonight. And they're like, is it Owen? And she's like, no. And Owen's on the couch, which I... spoiler alert, read ahead of the notes and trivia, and I just want to share it because I think it's great. Is also, it says that the scene when, it says, as stated by Kevin McKidd, the shot where Owen lies on Amelia's lap as Meredith and her kids enter the house was meant to mirror the shot of Owen lying on Christina's lap as she was reading Ellis's journal. So in, like, a later one that had to do with his PTSD too, way earlier.
Oh,
it's like a similar thing. So that's kind of cool. I love when they do stuff like that. But she finds out that Megan is alive and she right away is like, I have to go be the one to tell him, which I just feel like Meredith is so selfless in the way she handles this. Because I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the moment before, and then I'll hit on it too?
Yeah. I mean,
can we preface that the Callum Scott Dancing on My Own version of the song is playing, which is an incredible song.
Yeah. One of my favorite.
Same.
Yeah. Favorite songs, favorite versions of that song. Like, I have a note about that. Okay. I have. I'll let you talk about the moment. I just have like kind of a thought that, like, in response to you saying, like, that she's selfless. And I agree. I agree. I totally agree. But then there's also another side of me. And, like, and I felt this way even before, we're going to talk about a deleted scene, but I felt this way even before watching this deleted scene. There's so much hesitancy moving on and being with Riggs. To me, I wonder if it's almost a relief. It's like she finally decides she wants to make a step forward, and it's like she doesn't actually have to do it because, and, like, I don't doubt that there's, like, disappointment and sadness, and, like, there will be a range of emotions that she will go through. But I wonder if there is like this urgency, like I have to tell him. I think she gets him. Mm-hmm. I think she sees herself in this situation. She would want to know. But I wonder if there is a, like that part of you that you don't like to touch very often deep inside your soul, that like your deep, dark, twisty part that is like, I'm really happy I don't actually have to move forward with this person. And
I didn't have that thought though until I watched the deleted scene, which so I'm going to talk about this as if I didn't.
Got it.
See yeah. that because I feel like they purposely the way. Well, first of all, the way I love that she like makes sure he's breathing, like tells him to sit down and blah, blah, blah. And that just adds like a level of sadness to it because like, I think the way he reacted to is like so real. Like he's like, that's not funny. Like he's like, this is not something you do. They reference the dream, which they talked about in the beginning when they first met. And the way he like, first he cries, chokes, coughs, whatever. And then he like, as it hits him, he has that moment of like euphoria and he like spins Meredith around and she like screams with him, like a happiness, like, yay. And then the way he says, I'm sorry. And she just like, I'm so thankful for him that in that moment, she's not making it about herself, even though she like might be like you said, in a way of like, it's relief. But she just like, is like, no, no, no. Like you go, if it were Derek, I'd already be gone. And it's that, I think it ending on that without the deleted scene is like, we feel so sad for Meredith. Like,
totally.
Because she has the wet eyes, but in which I can't wait. Okay, I don't want to talk too much about it because we're going to talk about it in post-op. It's a really good post-op topic, everyone. So, but yeah, when I first watched this, it was so sad for her because I think it was such a hard decision for her to move on. And then it just was like, for naught.
And I will say something just briefly that like, I don't even know if the sadness is that she doesn't get Riggs. The sadness is it's not Derek.
Yes, that mention of him.
I think that's the sadness. Like, I think it's sad that like, and we are going to talk about this more in post-op. I think it's sad, but I think really it's like the longing and not even jealousy, but just envy of like, but happiness, like it's a lot of different emotions. I will say I am like really grateful to Riggs that like,
I know.
For him to be able to like step outside of his joy and like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And for him to look and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Like, to me, it's like, that's a really good person of recognizing like, oh, this is something joyful for me, but I am in return hurting you.
Yeah.
And you know, she like absolves him of that. But like, I think that's good that he recognizes that even in the moment, you know?
I wish he would just go. I wish him and Megan would just go away now and not come back in season 14 because I think that that's where some of my annoyance with him might have come in is like once the Megan thing is like, don't you think it would just be beautiful? Wrap it up. Like we just get updates from Owen, but we don't have to like see them together. Like,
yeah,
we don't have to see Riggs and her together. Ugh.
And I don't remember 14 very well, but isn't there kind of like, It's complicated between Megan and Riggs at first.
Yeah,
they don't just get back together. I mean, she has PTSD and trauma and like he has to
She has that major surgery that Meredith gets her Harper Avery. From.
Yeah. So I don't think it's just like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah.
We're together. Yeah. I think there's some like complicated things that show up, but I also could be making that up. That's just kind of what I remember.
I also feel like I was going to say that, you know, she may not have gotten Riggs, but she did get a Harper Avery because of Megan coming back. So
is that why she gets the Harper Avery?
Yeah, she does that crazy abdominal surgery, right?
I couldn't remember if that was why she got it. Yeah.
She grows livers, right? I don't know. I don't remember. But I'm pretty sure it has to do with her. I'm like almost positive.
But can we talk about, because we've been waiting for this scene with the... I mean, the pose of the ambulance lights and the hands up
together.
To the mouth. Yeah.
It's just a lot. And the wet eyes and the music, that song really is, now I'm realizing.
Dancing
like
on my own? My God.
Oh, no.
I keep dancing on my own is the song that's playing.
I didn't even think of that. Oh, that's so sad.
So sad.
I mean, it's a beautiful song and it's not always sad, but that version is kind of sad. Oh, wow. Yeah, she's doing it alone. And also I think it's like purposeful too that like the kids never did meet him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were so close. And like, I'm thankful that they didn't for Meredith's sake, you know, but like they were so close.
I feel like as a viewer, I remember being like the first time watching this being sad. Like, fuck, oh, God yeah. damn it. We were just like, we might have just been kind of like letting Nathan into our hearts, you know?
I know, for into Meredith. The show as a regular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it just made sense too with his connection to Owen. It felt like Owen should have another army person there because like Teddy was gone. It sort of mm-hmm. filled that like that little hole of the show. It's just,
and he
I don't
had
know.
Like he had like Derek hair.
He did have Derek hair. Yeah, I mean, I loved his crying acting was great. I'm a big fan of him because I love Virgin River. So to me, he's the same person on that show. So it's confusing. Like he is Jack the bartender and he's Riggs, the surgeon.
Yeah.
But I also think too, like Maggie was over it. So we were like, okay, this can work, you know?
Yeah. And then it just doesn't. If you don't have anything else about that, we should end it on Maggie and Jackson.
Yeah, go for it. End it on that. Take it
so,
away.
So like Maggie and Jackson are like, they get in the lockdown. So the hospital ends up locking down and they're stuck together and Jackson's freaking out about Stephanie. But Maggie doesn't have her phone and there's all this back and forth, blah, 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 blah. And then Jackson, when the fire goes off, the lockdown like overrides because fire trumps rapists. And so
yes.
there's like a line about that somewhere. So he runs off and it's a similar thing. Like April even brings it up. Like Jackson yes. finally comes out and he's like... April tells Maggie, like, he ran into a burning bus to save a child. Like, he has a thing with fires or whatever. Jackson ends up, like, coming back and he, like, can't breathe and he has oxygen and blah, blah, blah. And Maggie freaks out on him. And April's kind of freaking out. And Maggie's like, you could have left your child. Like, which is, right. should be, like, an April thing to be said. But, like, there's, like, this really intense reaction from Maggie. And so at the very end of the episode, Maggie ends up apologizing to April, like, hey, I kind of overreacted, overstepped a little bit with Jackson. And April's kind of like, it's fine, whatever. And April ultimately ends up saying, like, Jackson has feelings for you. Like, I know him and I know what it looks like when he has feelings for someone and he has them for you. And I'm telling you that because I can sense that you also have feelings for him.
Yes.
And are we getting to the fog soon? Because I forgot. Is it this soon that they get together?
Yeah, and it doesn't go well, but I don't remember if it's a whole... I think, it could be like season 14 finale that ends in the fog.
Is it? Or is it 15? I feel like... Or 15 is Joe and Alex?
Yeah, 15 is Joe and Alex in Arizona and April leave. So I think it's gotta be 14.
Wow.
Right? It's not after that.
Because that would be like three seasons that they were together.
But unless it's a real slow burn. Because also then he has to date the woman from Station 19. Doesn't he break up with Maggie and then they date? So it could be a little bit while.
I'm looking. When is The Fog in Grey's Anatomy? Jump into
I'm
the Fog
to look at that too.
Is the 15th season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so 14 is the finale, is the wedding, is Joe and Alex's
yeah,
wedding.
And so the 15th is the fog. Okay.
Oh, shit. So we only have one more season with April and Arizona.
Jesus Christ, really? Next season, though. Oh, my God. We get the April scene where she, like, is questioning her faith. Oh,
yep,
my God.
Because Tom Karasik comes in. I'm telling you, we're going to end up liking this whole damn show.
I know. I love that episode so much. I made John like watch that scene like four times on YouTube and I just cried on the couch and he was like, I don't get it. And I was like, well, I don't get you. I'm
We're
not
gonna end up
you.
Liking this whole show. I'm telling you.
I know we will.
I'd love that. So yeah, I feel like we're entering that, which it's gotta be a slow burn then because it's gonna be season 15.
Yeah.
So.
I don't really have much more.
No, me either. I feel like we can do notes and trivia and make sure if you are a patron, you are listening on the Patreon app or entering the RSS feed because we have a good post-op conversation for you.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure. This episode's title originated from the song True Colors, originally sung by Cyndi Lauper.
It scored 7.02 million viewers.
It marks the first time ever that a Grey's Anatomy episode has shared a title with a Private Practice episode.
Really? Oh, interesting. Joe's previous name is revealed to be Brooke Stadler in Alex's fantasy of confronting Paul, her husband, about his abuse of her.
Joe only physically appears as she's being strangled by Paul and Alex's imagination. If you pause the frame, it's clear she's portrayed by a stand-in rather than Camilla Luddington herself.
This marks the first time since her departure that Teddy Altman is mentioned in reality. Owen only mentioned her once before in one of Christina's imaginary futures.
Oh, during one of Alex's scenarios, he introduces himself to Joe's husband using the name Alex Stevens. Oh, yeah, I meant to say something about that. This is a reference to his own ex-wife, Izzy, whose last name was Stevens.
As stated by Kevin McKidd, the shot where Owen lies on Amelia's lap as Meredith and her kids enter the house was meant to be... Oh, you said this.
Sorry.
The shot of Owen lying on Christina's lap as she was reading Alice's journal in Beat Your Heart Out.
The episode's title originated from the song Ring of Fire, originally sung by Johnny Cash.
It scored 7.92 million viewers.
This is the last episode to feature Jerrica Hinton as part of the main cast. Initially, the writers were going to kill Stephanie off, but at the time, Krista Vernoff was already in talks to become showrunner for the 14th season. Since she was planning on bringing back a lighter and funnier tone, she had the writers decide against killing off Stephanie since she would already have to handle several darker storylines that were set up in the 13th season, such as Megan's reappearance and Joe's domestic abuse storyline.
Interesting. This is the first season finale in which not all of the season's main cast appear.
The promo pictures show a scene with Alex Karev and Arizona Robbins. That scene seems to have been cut. The same goes for a scene where Stephanie is visited by Aaron and her parents in the burn unit.
Shonda had been wanting to use Calum Scott's cover of Dancing on My Own for the whole season and didn't find the right scenes to pair it up with until this finale.
A deleted scene shows Alex in Meredith's bedroom after the long day at the hospital. They talk about Megan's nearing arrival and how Meredith feels about it. That's what we'll be talking about in post-op.
And then the original airing of this episode was delayed by 1 week in the United Kingdom as the themes were not deemed appropriate at the scheduled date of airing. What is that, like the rapist or like?
It made me wonder what was happening in the news in the UK. Was there a fire? Was there like a what?
Was there a rapist fire? Like, why wasn't it deemed appropriate? That's really interesting. Maybe we do have some UK listeners, so maybe if you have
remember.
Any... Yeah. Okay. I gave Catherine Avery to Stephanie. I said
absolutely.
She kills a rapist. She saves a little girl, and it's her last episode.
Yep, I agree. And I'm going to be bold. I am rating these a 10 out of 10. I fully enjoyed myself. I cried. I was excited. It was great.
I'm going to go 10 out of 10 too. I mean, there were parts I didn't like love. I think the storyline was a little ridiculous that it was like a rapist fire, but like... I agree with you that it felt very like season 6 shooter in the hospital.
Yep.
So whatever. 10 out of 10.
Lovely. Thank you so much for sticking with us, listeners, for another season. It's crazy to think we've done 13 of these.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really appreciate you and just highly recommend that you make sure to be a intern resident or an attending so you can get our post-op conversations as well as our bonus episodes.
Well, I was going to say, which incentive to become a patron, our bonus episode for February, we're going to do like kind of a recap of our feelings in general of season 13.
Right. Which is why we're not going to give them to you now. You must be under the pay. What is that? The pay?
It's a, what do you mean? What?
There's like that, there's that sentence or that phrase that's like, it's under the payroll. It's under the pay door. What is that fucking phrase?
I don't know. It's like you're speaking in labyrinth terms, David Bowie terms. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I'm frustrated. Okay.
It's fine. Anyway, be a $5 patron and you can hear what we rate season 13
as a whole.
The paywall.
The paywall. That's the word I was looking for. Like when you try to read a New York Times article and it's like,
you use too many of your free whatever. Hate when they do that. And I'm like, I didn't like the last... article I read. I would really prefer to read this one. Thanks a lot.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. So if you're a $10 patron, stick around. Otherwise, thank you so much. We will see you for the recaps of season 18. And then maybe someday we'll get into 14. We love you all. Make it through winter. Happy Valentine's Day. time of death is 2055.
Beep.